Since we're standing, let's go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We come to you today thanking you because you're a God. You are God all by yourself. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Nisi. You are Elohim. You are El Shaddai. And we worship you, God. We thank you. Lord, I ask that I decrease and let your spirit within be increased. We give you all the praise and the glory and the adoration in advance for what's going to take place during this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Now listen, Pastor Eben originally told me that we were going to be doing the Dear Future Wifey podcast during this month. And then he threw an audible. And I was talking to him. I was trying to find out how we were going to approach it, what type of panel we were going to do. And he said, I feel led by God that he wants you to preach this Sunday. And I laughed at him. I burst out laughing at him. He said, why are you laughing? I said, boy, God is always up to something. Because one thing that I know is that when God calls you to do something, you're going to be tested in that area. Whatever God has destined for you to preach about, you're going to go through it. So I laughed because I knew I was being set up. But one thing that I recognized back in 2022, how many of y'all were at the service where I kneeled down and I submitted myself to my pastor? So when you submit yourself to someone, you can't argue with them when they see God's hand over your life and they're trying to transition you from your place of comfort into where God is trying to take you. And so I laughed and I said, okay, how many of you know that sometimes you just got to do it afraid? And so what I decided to do was acquiesce to my pastor and be submitted to what he sees in my life. I need a volunteer right now. I need a male who used to fight back in the day. I'm going to do a little illustration. I need a male that used to fight. We're going airbox. Anybody? Come on, it's testimony time. Who used to fight? Come on down here. He raised his hand. I used to fight. Come on down here. Come up on stage. Come on stage. So as I stand here, there's a battle going on secretly within me. It's my flesh warring against my spirit. That battle exists in each and every one of our lives as we sit here. There's a war going on, the flesh versus the spirit. And so what I'm going to do with you, we're going to airbox. You know what airboxing is, right? All right. Because I don't want this to go real quick. I ain't been saved that long. Amen, somebody. So we're going to airbox, and on the screen is going to be a scripture, and y'all are going to play the part of my spirit. Y'all are going to edify me with scripture as I talk about what my flesh is going through. All right. All right. So as I said, there's an invisible war going inside of me. My flesh is airboxing my spirit. My flesh is saying, what are you doing, Lateris? There it is. Let's go. So my spirit. My flesh is saying, so you preaching now, Lateris? You preaching now, Lateris? But my spirit is saying, read. Let's go. Yes. But my flesh is saying, hold on, Lateris, you still wrestle with things in your flesh. Why are you preaching? You said you'll never preach because you saw how pastors mismanaged their spiritual authority. Come on, now, preach. And you left your calling. Come on, preach. Why are you preaching? And my spirit is saying, Next scripture. Put the next scripture up. Because I'm reminded when I was 18 years old and God called me to ministry. And I didn't want to do it, but God called me. Read. Let's go. My spirit is saying, my flesh is saying, so you hate when people call you pastor. You hate when people call you bishop. So while you preaching, that's not going to help too much. That's going to add to it. But my spirit is saying, next scripture. Next scripture. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Do you notice what was taking place right there? We were airboxing. There was nothing but air between us. Pop quiz. Who's the prince of the air? Ephesians 2:2 says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Well, I'm tired, y'all. I'm tired. Hold on. Let me tell you something. I was fighting for my life reading that right there. Let me tell you something. Let's go back to verse 1 up to verse 5. This is really good. Thank you so much. What was your name, brother? You said what? What did he say?
Angel.
Angel. All the women said angel. You like that, didn't you? He said, the Lord sent me an angel into my life. Amen. Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 5. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. One minute, let's make this point. What's another word for air boxing? Shadow boxing. Shadow boxing is defined as the activity of sparring with an imaginary opponent as a form of training. As a matter of fact, Paul writes to the church in Corinth this. 1 Corinthians 9, 26 through verse 27. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will be disqualified for the prize. Will not be disqualified for the prize. What shadows are you boxing in your life right now? An abortion you had 5 years ago? A bad reputation? Is it rumors? A jail record? Being known as a klepto in your family? Every time you come around in the house, everybody starts hiding their valuables. But you haven't stolen nothing in 10 years, but they still hold you accountable to the sin that you committed way back then. What shadows are you boxing? An addiction? Losing your kid to CPS? Is it absenteeism in fatherhood? Your dad wasn't there for you and you promised your child that you will not do the same thing as your father did with you. But where are you, Adam? Are you boxing the shadows of the abandonment of your dreams? Failure in love. You never healed from that heartbreak 15 years ago. Here's a take-home statement. Try until you die. Let's go back. 1 Corinthians 9, 26 through 27. It says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. Wouldn't that look crazy? Somebody just running. You're like, where are you going? Oh, no, I'm just running. Just running. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Today's message is entitled Fight in the Spirit. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and for the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. I love that. Isn't that beautiful? It's by grace we have been saved. Let's back up to verse 2 again, Ephesians 2 and 2, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Let me hear you say air attack. See, Satan is the prince of the air, so we have to be mindful of his air attacks. One of the biggest air attacks is music that glorifies sin. Have we forgotten that Satan was the chief musician? I can't even say was, because giftings are given without repentance, so he still is the chief musician. I'll name a few air attacks, and after each one, I'll point at you and I want you to yell air attack. Ungodly music. Ungodly music desensitizes morality and subtly and overtly promotes messages contrary to the word of God. I was thinking about reading some lyrics from some ungodly music, but it wouldn't even be appropriate. Social media. The algorithm. Oh yeah, the algorithm will tell all your business, won't it? If you find yourself being fed certain toxic stuff and shots and images of things that are contrary to the word of God, then you have to take the onus on you. Like, what have you been looking at? I mean, for a whole season, I just kept getting animal videos and cat videos and all that, because I kept watching animals. I'm really fascinated with wildlife, and I kept getting that. I was like, why I keep getting this? And I was like, oh, for God, I keep watching animal videos all the time. What is your algorithm telling you that you have an appetite for? That's between you and God. Media and entertainment. Satan can use various forms of media, including TV shows, movies, and social media, to promote ungodly values, normalize sin, and distort truth. This can subtly influence thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors. Another air attack, false teachings. Satan can spread deceptive doctrines or ideologies through false teachers and philosophies, leading people away from the truth of God's word and causing confusion about faith and morality. That's found in 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. Number 5, cultural trend. I feel like a pastor when I did this right here. I felt it. I'm embracing it now. I'm embracing it right here. Cultural trends, air attack. Satan can use societal trends that glorify materialism, self-centeredness, and immorality to shift people's focus away from God, tempting them to conform to worldly standards rather than godly principles. Romans 12 and 2. Now, how many of y'all remember or have heard of the music software Shazam? I was so fascinated by this. How many of y'all, raise your hand if y'all heard of Shazam? So Shazam is a technology that you can just be out in the public. You can hear music in the mall. You can hear something in a retail store. Pull out your phone, open the app, and it will tell you the song that you're listening to. We know that in reality, sound is a vibration that propagates as a mechanical wave of pressure and displacement through a medium such as air or water. When that vibration comes to our ears, particularly the eardrum, it moves small bones which transmit the vibration further to little hair cells deep in our inner ear. Finally, the little hair cells produce electrical impulses which are transmitted to our brain through the auditory ear nerve. Now, I think y'all gonna be in science today, huh? But that's the power of what is taking place, and you can't even see it. There's a war going on where our flesh is battling our spirit. Angels are warring against demons, and you can't even see it. That's why we have to change the way we perceive life in its entirety. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 12 says, no, the take-home statement is here. Never fight the devil in the flesh. He'll have home court advantage. Pastor Evan said that. Let me tell you why that was so powerful. I was talking to Pastor Evan about something I was going through on social media. Raise your hand if y'all know what I was going through on social media. Y'all know. So I was talking to Pastor Evan. He said, Latarius, you can never fight the devil in the flesh. He has home court advantage. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. The Bible says our weapons of warfare aren't carnal. So the minute that you begin to fight carnally, you're going to lose every time. And what happened in that experience, my mind started going back to BC, before Christ. How many of y'all got a BC that y'all been holding behind the cross? Because if somebody pull you away from that bad boy, you're going to forget your whole religion. You're going to forget that you love Jesus. You're going to forget all of that. But I knew that Pastor Evan set me up, because when he asked me to come preach, 3 days later, all of that broke out. But he had named the series Let's Fight before he even asked me to preach. So when he said that, I was like, oh, I'm about to get in a fight with somebody. Now, my mind, I think straight physical. I'm like, I'm finna have to box. Let me go ahead and work out, do some push-ups. I'm about to box somebody. But then my mind began to shift. And it happened so quickly, because at first I got sucked into it. And then the next post that I ended up making, where God began to restore me and began to speak to me, I started realizing what I was up against. And I said, I'm a fight in the spirit. But that's why it's good to have a pastor that can regulate your... See, that's what submission is about. A lot of people don't understand. Submission ain't popular. I'm going to tell y'all this right now. Submission ain't popular. Nobody wants to give somebody else authority over their grown self at this big old age, as we say. I'm going to go listen to another man tell me what to do. I'm a grown man. But that's what submission is. If you're wise, you'll submit yourself to authority that you can trust and that you can be submitted to. Come on, give it up for that, because that's real. Ephesians 6 and 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The King James Version says, in high places. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. How many of y'all live by astrology and zodiac signs? What sign are you? What sign are you? See? I was talking to one of my guests on my podcast this past week. She said, what sign are you? I said, the cross. That's how easy it is for the devil to start manipulating you to make you identify with something that is outside of God's will. What sign are you? What are you? When's your birthday? What are you? And you will attach yourself to a zodiac sign, and then they'll have the audacity to say, I know you then. Because if you a Pisces, I know you act like this. And I know you're Cancer, I know you. See, I will never date a Cancer, because the last Cancer I dated, you know, it all went... So what is the purpose of the cross? If all you're going to do is identify me by a zodiac sign, that means that God, even though he redeemed me, even though he died on the cross for me, that now when you meet me, you automatically identify me by a zodiac sign. That's that most people are anyway. If you're identifying, if you're saying I'm an Aries and all Aries act like this, if I'm a Gemini and all Geminis act like this, you don't even allow me to give you the full experience of Letaris R. Whitfield. So we have to be mindful of that. In the scripture, it says, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And the King James version says, in high places. So if you're fighting someone laterally, like you saw us doing air boxing, you're fighting fist to fist. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. How do you fight something in high places? I can't reach it. It was an old play that says my arms are too short to box with God. So how do I box? How do I fight something in high places? How? Answer. In what? In the word. In prayer. In fasting. That's the only way that I can get me, who's 5'9", to reach something way up in heaven in the heavenly realm. And that's why our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. You have to understand the power in that. Even Simon Peter got in his flesh when defending Jesus. Remember, you can never fight the devil in the flesh. He'll have home court advantage. All four canonical gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Simon Peter and Malchus are named only in the Gospel of John. Also, Luke is the only gospel that says Jesus healed the servant. Also note, this was Jesus' last recorded miracle prior to his resurrection, and I think is highly significant, and the Holy Spirit revealed to me why. Now, I've never heard this before, John 18:10 and verse 11. It's on the screen. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into his sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me? Matthew 26:52 says, put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Now, why did Jesus say this? I mean, y'all know, like, let's keep it real. If y'all was out the club, at a restaurant or whatever, and somebody tried to fight your homegirl or homeboy, or try to fight you, and your homeboy jumped in to defend you, would you tell him, nah, don't fight? What would you say? You'd say, get at him, wouldn't you? Tell the truth. All y'all ain't saved. Come on. You say, get at him, wouldn't you? You ain't been saved that long. You're not going to say, nah, you know, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. You're not going to say that. You're not going to say it. But Jesus was rebuking Peter and teaching him to fight in the spirit. As we unpack the story that I went through with this gentleman online, this is somebody that I highly respected. And so when he started coming at me, I said, listen, I don't mess with nobody. And God said, no, but you be messing with some spirits. And so when you get certain attacks from, you have to realize that we're not fighting flesh and blood. Sometimes you can get distracted and begin to fight the vessel. But if we're wise and smart, you'll begin to fight the spirit behind the vessel. And that's when you get total authority over that thing. Michelle Obama went popular and viral when she says, when everybody else go low, you go what? As powerful as that statement is, God taught me in this experience that when they go low, I go lower. I go lower. I go on my face and I begin to talk to God and say, God, fight those that are warring against me. Lord, you said in your word that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me shall be condemned, for this is my inheritance because I'm a servant of you. God, you said if I be for you, who can be against me? I'll start reciting scripture because you cannot fight the devil in the flesh. So I knew when Pastor Evan told me to preach, I said, my prayer life got to increase. Oh Lord. See, some of y'all been real saved, so y'all be like, praise the Lord, I'm gonna be praying and reading the Bible every single day, all up at night. God began to wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, God, I got better things to do. I'm trying to sleep. God said, wake up, son. I need to talk to you. Why is it that God always wants to talk at 3 o'clock in the morning? That's the first thing I'm gonna ask him when I get to heaven. God, let me ask you something. I know your ways ain't my ways, your timing ain't my timing. I get it because you always wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But you know why? Because he has full attention. Your phone ain't going to be ringing at 3 o'clock in the morning. He has your undivided attention so that you can hear him. So Jesus told him to put the sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Let's go deeper. Do you think it was just by happenstance that Malchus was the high priest Caiaphas' servant? And do you dare think the right ear being cut off had no significance? Somebody say, flex with the word. Turn with me to Exodus 29. Now, this chapter lays out God instructing Moses on the ordination ceremony of Aaron as the high priest, as the first high priest, and Aaron's son as the priest who will serve under him. Follow me. Verse 19 says, Exodus 29:19-20. You shall take the other ram, and Aaron, his son, shall lay their hands on the head of the ram. And you shall slaughter the ram, and take some of his blood, and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, and on the lobes of the right ears of his sons, and on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet, and dash the rest of the blood against all sides of the altar. Somebody say, flex with the word. Turn to Leviticus 14:12 through verse 14. We're going to read Leviticus 14, 12 through verse 14 and 19. Then the priest is to take one of the male lambs and offer it as a guilt offering along with the log of oil. He shall wave them before the Lord as a wave offering. Verse 13. He is to slaughter the lamb in the sanctuary area where the sin offering and the burnt offering are slaughtered. Like the sin offering, the guilt offering belongs to the priest. It is most holy. The priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of the right foot. Verse 19, then the priest is to sacrifice the sin offering and make atonement for the one to be cleansed from their uncleanness. Let's hop back to the New Testament, Luke 22, 49 through 51. Now, Luke is the only book that speaks of the miracle Jesus performed in healing Malchus's ear. Luke 22, 49 through 51 says, when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. Some of y'all got a Peter anointing, don't you? But Jesus answered, no more of this, and touched the man's ear and healed him. In Matthew, Jesus states, if he wanted to, he could have summoned 12 legions of angels to come to his defense. Now, a legion by Rome standards is 6,000 soldiers. Jesus basically said he could call 72,000 angels to turn some stuff out. Let's put this into perspective. In the book of Hebrews, one angel kills 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. So Jesus got some serious backup, don't he? But he told his homeboys, like, that little old sword ain't hitting on nothing. Listen, if I want to flex, I could call 12 legions of angels to wreck this whole place out. Take home statement. This is a bonus one. I didn't give this to the media team. The position, you have to understand this. Let me share this. Have you ever saw like videos where you saw, I told y'all I watch a lot of animal videos. Like you'll see like a lion or a tiger, and you'll see like a little cub or a little dog or something, or a cat jumping at the tiger or whatever, and they just sitting there like, you know, chill. Like they like, come on, you don't want the smoke. And they do that. And you see this dog just, I saw a video where it was like this pit bull going after this lion. The lion was just sitting there like, and that dog was going crazy. Somebody had it on a chain. He's jumping out. The lion was just sitting there. Didn't jump, didn't flex, didn't raise a paw, didn't do nothing but sit there. That's how we should be in the spirit. When someone is attacking us, just chill. And how do you chill? Because you know the power that worketh in you. The Bible says, greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. So you can't get bent all out of shape when somebody is acting out of character that's going to try to pull you out of character. Take home statement. The position I'm taking isn't based on arrogance. It's based on my anointing. When you know your anointing, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody. There's a scripture, well, it's not a scripture, it's a quote that I have on my wall in my office that sits on the wall while I'm editing videos. It says, let your character outlive their lie. Let your character outlive their lie. A lot of us don't have the patience to allow our character to outlive the lie, because we feel like we can do a better job than God. There's a beautiful scripture that says, vengeance is mine, saith who? So a lot of times we feel like God puts us on earth as Christians to be a pushover, right? Have you ever felt like that? You're like, God, I want to say something. Ooh, I want to say something. They don't know who I am. They don't know what you delivered me from. You feel like that. God knew that. That's why he says, vengeance is mine. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. There's so many scriptures that says that God is protecting you. But we have to lean into that. But here we have the Lamb of God not only rebuking his homie for attempting to defend him, but Jesus goes to such an extent as to heal Malchus's ear, who's the servant of the high priest who plans to kill him. Take home statement. Protection from purpose is pessimism. A lot of times we try to, how many of y'all are parents? A lot of y'all parents, some of y'all parents. As parents, oftentimes we try to protect our kids from things that God may be using for their maturation phase. You try to protect it from. I was talking to, I just got honored this award this past Friday, for Father of the Year, Dad of the Year, Motivated Dad of the Year. And, the Tate brothers was there. And one of the Tate brothers, how many of y'all know Lorenz Tate? I don't want you to say Tate, bro. Y'all know, look at you. Took y'all out the spirit right there. So Lorenz Tate and his brothers was there. And one of the brothers was talking about how his wife is always adverse to one of the kids who's, in their early 20s, they like going on trips and whatnot. And they'll go to Brazil and go to third world countries. And the mom is like, why do you let her do this? It's so dangerous. And he was like, listen, she got to grow up some way. She got to learn life. And so oftentimes we try to protect people from the very thing that is calling them to purpose. And that's what Peter tried to do to Jesus. It got so bad to where Jesus called Peter Satan. He said, get behind me, Satan. Was he calling Peter Satan? No, he was calling the spirit that was trying to prevent him from his purpose. There are things that God is calling you to take dominion over. And people that love you, people that got your back, people that's rooting for you will whisper in your ear, nah, you don't need to do that. You're not qualified for that. You maybe want to go back to college because you want to get that degree that puts you in a certain position for a certain profession. They like, you're doing too much. You're doing too much. You may be, God called you to ministry. And you're like, nah, I don't want that. Because you start thinking about, as I do, start thinking about what it takes in order to fully submit to it. And so you just, nah. And sometimes the person that's fighting you the most is you. It's not something external. It's not your homegirl. It's not your cousins. It's not your brother. It's not your parents. The secret battleground exists in your mind. And so one thing that we have to understand is that when God calls you for purpose, the Bible says who he calls, he qualifies. Could it be that the last miracle performed before his crucifixion, we not only witness a miracle of healing, but also of atonement? Leviticus 14, 14 and 19 says the priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear for the one to be cleansed. Verse 19 says the priest is to sacrifice a sin offering and make atonement for the one to be cleansed from their uncleanness. Jesus not only healed his ear, he healed his hearing. Can you imagine all the negative stuff that Malchus heard about Jesus? He heard all this negative stuff. We got to get him. He's trying to overthrow the government. And what it must have felt like to hear or to feel the miraculous hand of Jesus, this bad guy, heal you after his homie popped off on you. Have you ever had a car accident and when it came time for repairs, they gave you a choice, or well, you wish they gave you a choice? Would you rather have OEM parts or aftermarket parts? Which one you want? OEM? But the first thing that the insurance company wants you to have is aftermarket parts. When Jesus healed Malchus's ear, do you think he got aftermarket parts or OEM? There's no way that you can be touched by God and be left the same way you were found. How many of you have been touched by God? I remember this song as I was growing up. How many of y'all been saved a long time? Y'all remember this song? He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Sing with us. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. And something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? I remember being touched by God at the age of 12 years old and being filled with the Holy Spirit. My life has never been the same. Of course, I've made mistakes along the way, but being connected to my Heavenly Father has never changed. A lot of times people go through their backslidden state, but I never backslid away from God. I just sinned while I was with God. You know what I'm saying? That's just, I ain't gonna backslide. You know, backslide, you turn your way away, God, you're on your own. I'd be like, well, this sin in me and you, Jesus, we're gonna walk along with each other. Because he touched me. And so when you get a touch from God, when I say it changes the way you look at life, and it puts a fear in you that you say, if I get too far away from him, I don't know if I can make it back. So I'm just going to struggle and I'm going to wrestle with God with whatever these sins are. Paul says he calls it a thorn in his flesh. So I'm just going to wrestle with God with it. How many of y'all know, let me ask y'all, when y'all are going through things that are seemingly impossible or the devil is fighting you, that y'all go to God and worship? How many of y'all go to God and be in worship? That's how I get through a lot. A lot of people ask me, how do you navigate this stuff? How do you fight? I said, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. And I've started learning that it's so much that takes place when you fight your battles in worship. It's hard to cut somebody out while you're worshiping. It's hard to fight somebody while you're worshiping. And then what will happen is you'll say something crazy like, I love you, to your enemies. When you start operating in that heart posture, when you begin to pray for those that are coming against you, when you begin to war in the spirit, because it's not them. That's what I want you to understand. As we fight in the spirit, it's not them. It's not them. And oftentimes we can get distracted fighting against a vessel and not against a villain. The devil is so cunning that it's people right now that haven't even talked to their siblings in 15, 20 years. Haven't talked to their best friend. And if you were to put them in the same room and ask them, so why haven't y'all talked in 15 years? They're like, I don't, it was something that happened. She said, I don't know, it was something. I can't remember, but I remember you did something though. I remember you did something. And they can't even name what it is. Because the prince of the air got involved and began to whisper stuff. You see it a lot on these reality shows. I see people get on these reality shows. They be friends when they start off. And then they hate each other after the filming of it. And I was like, how did y'all let these people manipulate y'all's emotions? And y'all were close friends prior to the taping. And now y'all hate each other? The prince of the air. The prince of the air. Matthew 7, 24 through verse 26. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, the King James Version reads, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Casting down imaginations. You know, oftentimes you feel like that thing is greater than what it really is. When that thing happened to me, I was like, oh my God, everybody, they know this dude is saying all this foul stuff about me. Everybody knows. And then I started saying, man, have you heard what so-and-so was saying about me? They said, who is so-and-so? They didn't even know who so-and-so was. I said, you don't know so-and-so? Now here I am being their PR person. Now so-and-so used to do this and so-and-so used to do that. And so-and-so at the very beginning, 15 years ago. Now I'm reading his resume off. And it's like, I've never heard of them. You never heard of them? So now I'm spending all the time trying to explain to them who this person is and why it bothered me so much about what they said. And they said, I wouldn't even have known that person even existed had you not told me what you just told me right now. Ain't that interesting? Because in the imagination of it all, it seems greater than what it really is. That's why the Bible says cast down every imagination. Because oftentimes when you're going through stuff, you're afraid. Sometimes you'll isolate. You don't come back to church because you go, man, these people probably heard this and these people probably know this. So you'll isolate. That's the worst thing you could ever do. Told you I watch a lot of animal videos, and the first thing that they try to do is the lion or the cheetah would try to isolate one animal away from the flock. Because if they can isolate them, they can destroy them. What I'm saying to you, oftentimes you'll deal with church hurt. I've been through it. And the first thing you try to do is run away from the very thing that's going to restore you. You'll run away from the very people that can keep you lifted up. You'll run away and you'll look at it like this. One person did something wrong to you in the parking lot. And you start saying, that's why I don't trust church people. The whole church. One person, 2,000 people, you don't trust no more. Because church people always do this. One pastor did you wrong. One pastor tried to shoot their shot at you. And then now you say, I don't go to church because I don't trust none of these pastors. One pastor. And the devil knew that's all it took. The devil knew that that's all it would take to isolate you from your purpose. To pull you away from a body of believers that can push you towards purpose. Don't isolate. For those taking notes, here's an acronym to teach us how to fight in the spirit. I created an acronym for the word spirit that outlines 6 key points on how to fight in the spirit. For S, seek God's presence. I'm going to go through this quickly. Seek God's presence. Make seeking God a daily priority through prayer, meditation, reading his word, worshiping, being in his presence equips you with wisdom, peace, and guidance. Psalms 27:8. Psalms 27:8 says, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. P, pray with power. Engage in fervent, faith-filled prayer that goes beyond surface-level requests. Pray in alignment with God's promises, believing in his ability to bring out change, found in James 5:16. James 5:16 reads, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I, invite the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Holy Spirit as your advocate and guide. Invite him to direct your thoughts, your actions, and decisions, helping you to discern spiritual truth and resist temptation. John 14:26. John 14:26 reads, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. The letter R, resist the enemy. Stand firm in your faith and resist the enemy's lies, temptations, and spiritual attacks. Use God's word as the weapon to counter every scheme. James 4:7. So that's what you have to do. You got to put a lot of word in you. You got to, because you can't fight the devil by just saying affirmations. You better use some word. You got to use God's word. You got to weaponize God's word on the devil. Because when you start holding God accountable, I remember as a kid, what I would always do to my parents, if they said they were going to take me somewhere, what would you say? You said. You said means a lot, don't it? Because when you can repeat to me what I said, then I'll say, all right, let me go ahead and do it. That's what we have to do with God. But God, you said. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Why is my bank account at $3.55? Why is overdraft protection kicking in and I don't even have overdraft protection? I have no money in the account that's going to put the money to bring me out of negative. God, you said, let me tell you something. I've been into some things where my account was overdrawn $574. I don't know how they let me do that. They let me overdraft my account $574. And I said, God, what am I going to do? This was years ago. And this guy who lived in this high-rise condo with me, I lived in these condos downtown Dallas. I was doing plays at the time. And I had just helped this family who was displaced out of Katrina. I picked them up from Reunion Arena. I was out there volunteering. And then God told me to bring them home with me. So I brought this couple and their 4 kids home to my 1-bedroom condo in a high-rise in downtown Dallas. Kids running around with corn dogs, mustard all on my walls. I said, Jesus, why'd you have me do this? But I was being obedient. But in that process, my account ended up going negative $574. And I said, God, I'm over helping people. And now you let this happen to me. And I began to pray. I said, okay, God, I'm sowing where I want to go. One of my neighbors came to me and said, hey, listen, I heard that you do plays and all that. What do you need to go to the next level? I said, well, I need money. And he said, okay, well, what does a play generally cost? I said, about $500,000 to get a play launched. He said, all right, I want you to just give me a one sheet. Let me know how much you need, what's the rate of return, when you need it, and when I'll get my money back. I said, what? I said, okay, because when you get disappointed a lot, you know what I mean? You be like, I don't know. There's just a catch to it. Then he ended up telling me before, he said, you know what? I don't even know why I'm doing this. This is not even a believer. He said, I don't even know why I'm doing this, but I want you to just shoot me a text and let me know how much money you need right now. Maybe you need to pay some bills or whatever. I said, that had to be God right there. That had to be God. He said, just send me a text on what you need. I text him $10,000. He said, come by my office and pick it up. It's at my desk. I went by, I said, he got to be lying. So I go over there in the Plaza of America. I went into his office and he said, I'm not going to be there. It's going to be laying on the desk. So I went and I saw this check on the desk. I said, they trying to set me up. So I'm telling from the hood, I got trust issues. So I said, let me get this. So I got the check and I looked. It was made out to me. He said, listen, I normally don't do that. We don't even have a contract with each other. And so I don't even know what we're going to be doing. But for whatever reason, I just felt led to do that. And I told him, I said, you had no idea my account was overdrawn $574. When I tell you that when you put God first, God told me a quote when I was 18 years old. He said, the only person that can limit God from being God in your life is you with unbelief. You serve a God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. The only person who can limit God from being God in your life is you with unbelief. So it's based upon how you see God. I'll share this brief story real quick. Pastor Evan elevated my thinking. He elevated my thinking. I never had designer stuff. I never wore designer, all that stuff. I didn't really care about all that stuff. First of all, because I couldn't afford it. So I couldn't even care about it. I couldn't even afford to care about it. So, but one day he ended up getting me this shirt one day and I was like, man, I wore that shirt. He got me a Gucci shirt and I wore that shirt one time, didn't wear it for another 6 months. I wore it on my birthday. I said, I'm wearing it on special occasions. The shirt costs so much. I said, I don't even know what shoes you're supposed to wear with a shirt that costs that much. I don't even know what you're supposed to do. So I just wore it one time when I came and did the podcast the first time and I put it in the closet. I said, that's cute. And then Pastor Evan told me one day, he said, why do you think like that? I said, what you mean? He said, why don't you feel like you can have this stuff? And what I did in pride was like, I mean, I don't even want it. I don't even want that stuff. I don't even need that. But the truth was, I didn't believe I could afford it. He said, I'm trying to change your thinking. Not that you got to wear Gucci and designer stuff, but I want to get you in a mindset that if you want it, you can have it. So I said, all right. So then I did that. I had that shirt. And so one day I was like, I'm going to have to put milestones. So when something happens in my life, when I reach a certain number of subscribers on YouTube or whatnot, then I'll reward myself with something. So I started buying stuff. I bought me some shoes and I bought me a backpack and I bought me some luggage and I start buying little stuff like that. And then it got me to a place, because at the time I'm sitting up here buying $1,200 shoes, $750 shoes, $4,000 backpacks, but I was renting the house that I was living in. Somebody said, that don't make sense. And so what happened was, him planting that seed in my life opened up my mind to where I said, I don't have to keep renting this house that I'm living in. But you know what? The shadow of my past, I experienced a foreclosure before. I experienced bankruptcy before. So this shadow in my past was telling me you cannot afford a house right now, because what happens if your YouTube checks stop? What happens if you stop getting booked? What happens when your bank account starts dwindling down and you got to go through another foreclosure? Shadow in my past. And so one day I got myself in a situation. I was talking to a mortgage lender and I talked to him. They said, wow, your credit is amazing. Yeah, you're approved. And I said, how much is the down payment? He said, $117,000. I said, geez, I went to sleep. Real true story. I went to sleep. I said, I got to take a nap. I said, I done got myself into something. I done listened to Pastor Evan telling me all this stuff. Now I got to come up with $117,000 and I ain't got it. I got y'all to watch you hang with. So then I took a nap. True story. I woke back up. I said, okay, God, your will, your bill. The Bible says, I pray that your faith fails not. So what I began to do is started faithing and believing God. I said, God, open up some doors, open some doors. God started open. Hold on, let me back up. The true story was, I didn't put an income level on what I want to make. I put a tithing level. I said, God, I want to tithe. I made this outrageous number. I'm still going to try to get it. I said, I want to tithe $200,000. You know how much money I got to make in order to tithe $200,000? So I told myself that. Ain't nowhere near that. Amen. But the goal is I put, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added. And so I put a goal, I put a tithing goal so that God can help me out in the natural goals that I have. Come on, somebody. So let's jump on number. Let me break this down so I can get out of here. R, resist the enemy. Stand firm in your faith and resist the enemy's lies, temptations, and spiritual attacks. Use God's word as a weapon to counter every scheme. James 4:7. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I intercede for others. It ain't just about you. Fight in the spirit, not only for yourself, but also for others. Interceding on behalf of others creates a hedge of protection and brings healing to their lives. 1 Timothy 2:1, which reads, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. All people includes your enemies. And T is trust in God's victory. Have an unwavering faith in God's ultimate victory. Trust that through Jesus, you are already more than a conqueror and that God is fighting on your behalf. Romans 8:37 and 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. Romans 8:37 reads, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And 1 Corinthians 15:55-57 says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Fighting in the spirit. Now, as I wrap up, this journey of singleness is a constant spiritual battle that can be fought in the, that can't be fought in the flesh. This is true for life in general, but it hits differently when it comes to trying to walk out this season of singleness with holiness. We're constantly inundated with messages attacking our value as if singles are second-class citizens in the church. Fighting in the spirit means praying for those who persecute you. One of the last words Jesus spoke on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's practice that real quick. I'll name a few questions and statements that you may hear as a single, and I want you to respond as Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You ready? Why aren't you married yet? Are you too picky? Now, you're too old to be single. Is something wrong with you? You know your biological clock is ticking. Wait a minute. If you're such a good catch, then why are you still single? Don't you want kids? And the worst one, you'll die alone. I want you to come against every lie, every lying imp, every demon that tries to come against the knowledge and exalts itself against God. Thank you so much, Pastor Evan. Thank you so much for trusting in me to stand in this place. I don't take this for granted. I know what God is doing, and I know the call that's over my life. I want to